May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The scripture, we talked about Sunday, if you were here, if you're a CTKer, about digging trenches. That, without going over the story, that is preparing the way of the Lord, preparing for the Holy Spirit. From 2 Kings chapter 3, when there was no water and they weren't going to survive, much less win the battle without the water, the Holy Spirit. You can't win the battle without the Holy Spirit. And the Lord told them to just, the water would just come out of miraculously, but they needed to dig trenches in this dry area so that when the water came, it would hold water. And what God's really been speaking to me these last 2 weeks is that you dig trenches really three ways. One through worship, one in prayer, and the other is repentance. And often they can be connected. As you're worshiping and praying, God can bring things to your heart and your mind. And it's a scary thing. It seems like a scary thing. It's not a scary thing. It's a glorious thing to just get alone with God and say, God, whatever time it takes, even if over a period of days, Holy Spirit, show me the sin in my life I need to acknowledge. And you may think, well, that may take for a few minutes, but it'll really actually take longer than that. And you may want to have several pencils. But it's a glorious thing. And then he just does that work in us, and it's part of the continual thing, and you just dig trenches. And so I've been real intentional about digging trenches. I don't want to just talk about these things. I want to walk them out. I've done a lot of repenting in my life. I have needed to do a lot of repenting in my life, and I'm discovering there's still things. There's more. The much more that Jesus talks about, I think, is more about sin than it is anything else. And so yesterday, I was reading this verse. It reminded me a little bit of yesterday, but here's part of digging trenches. This is how practical it gets. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Let be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. In other words, if the thing that's upset you today, that you're pondering and made you mad, if it's happening again tomorrow or it's started yesterday, it's happening again today, then you're in trouble. And do not give the devil an opportunity, because if you're doing that, you're giving the devil an opportunity. The word opportunity there is really a beachhead from which to operate and take other territory. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. The word unwholesome here is the word sept. It's the word we get septic tank. And the idea, it pollutes, it destroys, it ruins. Let no septic tank word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We're wanting to invite the Holy Spirit. We want to see more. And the connection here is that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Therefore, brethren, be imitators of God, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrance. In verse 29, we're talking about unwholesome words. The context here is particularly when you're talking to somebody else. But it can also be talking about a circumstance. But hear this, verse 29, let the Holy Spirit run with it to help you dig trenches. Let no rotten or spoiling word proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word, not occasionally such a word, not most of the time such a word, but only such a word as is good to build. Edification literally just means to build. We say build up. If you're building, you're usually building up, but it's just to build. According to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And the idea is that if you're talking to somebody about them, the words that you give them shouldn't destroy, shouldn't be words that ruin things in them. It should be words that build them up, and it leaves them with a grace thing to hang on to, not to walk away hopeless and defeated and condemned. I see Christians do that to each other all the time. Well, they really hurt me. Let all bitterness and wrath, yada, yada, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. So he uses the word forgiving each other. Be kind to one another and tender-hearted to the very one you're needing to forgive. Leave them with a word of grace. With something they can hang on to. They can build on, grow from. Don't leave them helpless and hopeless. Or if you're talking to them about somebody else, don't let unwholesome words come out. That person needs to still believe in that person. They need something grace about that person that they can hang on to. Things like, but God loves them, and there's all these good qualities in them, and God's doing a powerful thing, and he'll do a powerful thing. He'll not stop just like he hasn't stopped with us. Leave them with a grace thing. Don't just get into gossip so that when you're done, all you've done is ruin that person's testimony in their eyes or leave them without any hope that person's ever going to be worth anything. That's unwholesome. Leave them with something that's grace they can hold on to as they think about that person, interact with that person, and are called to love that person. Amen? To understand what digging trenches look like. Repentance doesn't look like, but I'm better. I mean, how many times have I heard that? I'm better than I used to be. I've come a long way. What you just said, I'm still sinning. Not as bad as I used to sin, but I'm still sinning. That's not victory. That's improvement. And Christ is our victor. You can't settle for better or you'll never have victory because it's okay with you to live with less than victory. If you're okay with better and proud of yourself for better, you're going to be that way the rest of your life. But I think it also is when you're just talking about situations, and so it always helps when I confess my sin. And since I'm so good at sinning, I always have something to confess. Yesterday, Olivia had to go get her port out. 5 years, cancer-free port that chemo goes in, is gone. So, amen. And the idea sounded really good. The experience was not as easy. And so we had to be there at 7:30 in the morning, and it's a 20-minute surgery. So we go, and they take us into the back. If you've ever been in that surgery thing at the hospital here, and you get your little room. And we had the suite. We had room 13. It's in the corner. It's like really big. And you pull the curtain and you're there as you wait a little while. And I thought, you know, I mean, 20-minute surgery. I'll give him a real grace. And 10:30, I'll probably be back here. I can do Eucharist. Well, as we were getting close to 10:30, I thought I'd make Olivia feel better, prepare her for the worst, and say, you know, we might be 1:30 getting out of here. We got home at 6. We waited for 9.5 hours for a 20-minute surgery. And so as the morning was going along, Olivia was getting ready. That's a hard thing for somebody who's handicapped. They need to be able to get up and do a little bit, or they get really sore. And so it's beginning hard. She's saying a few things. And so I helped her out by giving as many unwholesome words that I could think of to come out of my mouth. And she was already not in a good place. Now I just made it worse because I was like, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. How can they do this? What's wrong with these people? You know, yada, 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 just cursing the whole thing. And so Olivia's getting worse. And finally, at some point, the Holy Spirit, I just said, boy, Olivia, I just repent of all this complaining. I said, none of this is healthy. So we're in Christ. Now, they may need to reorganize, schedule better, you know, do whatever they need to do, but this is terrible. This is not near as bad as we're making it because of our sin, my sin. And it was just real freedom. Now, as the day went on, she was hurting. She would try to go back and said, Olivia, remember, there's no complaining. And it ended up being a good, you know, it was 9.5 hours waiting to have surgery. But as the day went on and people would interact and they'd come in and apologize and yada, 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 and the doctor particularly, really nice man, he must apologize 50 times. When I finally went in the waiting room for 20 minutes after 9.5 hours in the surgery thing, he came out and apologized more and more and more. And I said, look, I have a busy schedule too. So there's a lot of things that are out of your control, just like they're out of my control. It's okay. He just stopped, turned back. I almost thought he was going to start crying, shook my hand. And when I walked out of the place, two different people said something, but one of them said, you know, only a man of God could have had the attitude that you had about that. I thought, lady, I'm a good thing that you were not in the first shift. You were here at the second shift. I was much better from noon o'clock on. But I didn't say anything about it earlier, but still. But, you know, they would come in and pause and say, oh, that's okay, we're in Christ. You know, because I believe that. And this is the testimony that gave them grace that they're going to find themselves in situations in this fallen world where it's just going to be ridiculously long or messed up or mixed up. They were actually going to people who had been there for 6-7 hours saying, we're just sorry we can't get to you today. And I thought, man, did they come and tell us that? But the Lord, that was a classic example for me to go, you know what? It says this, which goes along with that passage that I read earlier. This is Philippians 2. I've read this a number of times over the years. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and do of his good pleasure, do all things without grumbling or complaining, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights to the world. Do you understand what comes out of my mouth and my attitude determines whether I'm actually going to be a light or not a light in a broken, hurting world? God, help us to dig trenches, deep trenches that will hold more water. Just may a Holy Spirit and a hopeful spirit of conviction be on your church in this city. We're in this season, Lord. It's time to dig trenches. In Jesus' name, amen.